Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to our journey on the air today, inviting you to participate. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. And if I can recall it during the course of the broadcast, I'll remind you of that number several times. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we deal with issues. We do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to his disciples, John 8:31-32. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus himself said, "Thy word is truth." And so when we deal with issues, we do so based on truth. What does the word of God say? It's from a central biblicist position that I believe every Christian should have, not based on a denominational dogma or some ideological philosophical rhetoric, but based on the authority of Scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, when we find in the Scripture, it is very clear that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And of course, in the context of it, it's verifying that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are verifiably one, as we find in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know that from a Christian perspective, we have our liberty in Christ, our freedom in Christ. We're not under the law. We serve the Lord out of love and liberty to honor Him. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to liberty, we have social liberty, a societal liberty in our Constitution. But may I simply say today that I believe we're watching the vanishing of our liberties, the vanishing in particular of free speech, our First Amendment right. Ladies and gentlemen, Americans are witnessing what I call the erosion of our First Amendment constitutional rights. Just what does the First Amendment say? Have you ever thought about that? If I were to ask you that question, could you tell me what is included in the First Amendment? The First Amendment simply says Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. Very simply put, the heart of the First Amendment deals with the free exercise, the free speech, religious free speech, and free speech in general. But yet we have city council members, state and national political leaders, that somehow feel that they have the right to abridge or erode or in some way contravene our Bill of Rights. In fact, here's a good example of it, ladies and gentlemen. I would have never dreamed it would be possible to find this in print, but it's just come out this week. It's just something that staggers my imagination. The title of the article, "We have to regulate every aspect of people's lives." Yes, that's the admission that came directly from a city councilman in Santa Barbara City Council regarding the criminalization of the use of plastic straws. Yes, Jesse Dominguez, the councilman from Santa Barbara, made the statement that we have to regulate every aspect of people's lives. The article simply says, while no one wants the old plastic straws cluttering up the streets, waste dumps, or oceans, the city council moved far beyond the usual solutions, advocating the criminality and the criminalization and penalties for use of plastic straws. He said, unfortunately, common sense is just not common. we have to regulate every aspect of people's lives. You get that? The city councilman is saying, we're smarter than you are. We know what's best for you. We know what you need to have and what we want to allow you to do. So therefore, as governmental agent, we feel that it's our authority to do so. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is sad when we come to the place and position where there's a mindset in the general aspect of government, local, state, and national. By the way, most of your city governments have some type of sound ordinance, and most of the sound ordinances, ladies and gentlemen, developed back several years ago when there was an attempt to take street preachers off the streets in most of our cities. Even in Jacksonville, Florida, there is a sound ordinance. And if a street preacher to get out with a megaphone or a bullhorn and start preaching, all of a sudden he would be found guilty of breaking the sound ordinance in our city. And yet other venues and other opportunities for other people, there's not a restriction of that nature. But that's generally the origin of much of that's found in the nation today, in our cities and city councils, in relationship to a sound ordinance and how it can be broken. Ladies and gentlemen, this person that I just read you that little blurb verbalized just what is taking place across America today. Between Yahoo, Google, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and a larger and larger number of the local and federal agencies, our liberties are being canceled. Our First Amendment rights are being contravened and or banned in many, many venues and areas. Here's an article that says, the judges say, university can control public speech on public sidewalks. Here's the little brief blurb of that. The Supreme Court is being asked to overturn a lower court's decision that gives a university the right to control public speech that occurs on public sidewalks. Traditionally, those locations are considered public forums, and only a few restrictions can be placed on speech, such as people not being allowed to create excessive noise or make threats. But in this case, a three-judge panel from the 11th Circuit Appeal Court of Appeals decided that the public sidewalk in the city of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, are actually not public if they run past the University of Alabama. The conflict developed when Robert Kister, a street preacher, was ordered by the university to shut up. He was preaching on those public sidewalks, they say. But the ruling, in fact, gave university officials the right to control his public free speech, end quote. Now, the fight is being submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court by the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, that is Jay Sekulow's organization. And I'm looking forward to that coming to the courts, because somehow there's a mindset that we can start giving free speech zones. Many universities on the campuses, they have little isolated areas in the back of the buildings or someplace that is outside of the side of the public venue and the public forum that's called a free speech zone, where the students that are Christian and the students that are conservative can go there and intermingle and have dialogue and discussion without being repressed. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the idea that our founding fathers had in relationship to our First Amendment right and the free speech that we have. You see, the strange and yet alarming thing is that this abridging and blocking of the First Amendment rights seems to be aimed at only Christians and only the conservatives. If you don't believe that, just talk with multitudes of those that have had their things taken down and are blocked by some algorithm on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or Google or Yahoo, any one of the main social media carriers and platforms. In fact, I understand the argument. There are a lot of folks that have come forward and said, well, you know, that's private enterprise and that's private business, and so therefore they have the right to take away your free speech. No, they don't. In fact, I was just reading this morning a massive article that was published back in 2017 dealing with that very issue. And very briefly, the head of the article says, the First Amendment and what it means for free speech online. And it goes on to talk about that the free speech online still have the right of the freedom of the First Amendment, unless the words or actions are meant to incite violence and or to incite others to commit violence, unless the act is libel or slanderous, or if the the conversation is about child pornography or the creation of distribution of obscene material or the burning of draft cards, anti-war protest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the article talks about that in depth, And it says, for example, there are more to be sure, but note none of these limitations on free speech are almost always particular in the case of the Internet, involving the Internet. May I remind us, of course, it's a massive article that gives a great deal of insight as to the U.S. Supreme Court rulings and the appeals court rulings in years gone by and what can be done. We're watching an evolution here in this realm because the Internet, about 30 years now, since we've had the Internet that's been out and available, generally speaking. But now with the advent of the Internet and with the social media, we're finding more and more through the social media an attempt to in some way contravene and or ban our free speech, especially our religious liberties and our free religious speech. In fact, here's an article that says, Facebook throttling Christianity. And then the subtitle, fake news crackdown, blocking 5 million followers monthly. A pastor who says he once had as many as 8 million people on monthly internet interaction on his Facebook page, now has a fraction of that audience due to the fake news algorithm change, and claims the social media giant is severely restricting the distribution of Christian-themed posts online, end quote. Facebook, he said, is blocking almost everyone from seeing John 3:16 or hearing the old rugged cross or the resurrection of Jesus Christ and many other posts, according to Stephen Andrews. He still has a sizable audience, he said, with 467,000 people liking his page. But Facebook is shown that they only allow hundreds of people to see that Facebook page each day. He says, I am being silenced by Facebook. Christianity is being silenced by Facebook. Andrew also goes on to say he spent several thousands of dollars with Facebook advertising to build up his following. And before the censoring began, he reached as many as 5 to 8 million people per month, with an average post of 30 to 60,000 people daily, end quote. Some posts, he said, reached a million people. He said, but after Facebook announced a crackdown on fake news, he was shadow banded, blocking almost 5 million per month. And he goes on to say, Christianity is not fake news. And yet, according to Facebook, anything that is Christian, anything that is moral and ethical, the old rugged cross or John 3:16 or the picture of a Bible, et cetera, is more and more being banned and considered fake news by the carriers of the online programs or online free speech that we have from Christians and conservatives in America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is an animus and a hatred toward Christianity. It shows a hatred to God. In fact, really, if you want to understand it, ladies and gentlemen, what we're watching played out through social media and through other venues of the contravening of our religious liberties and free speech rights, according to our First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, what we're watching is a battle between God and Satan being played out before our eyes in the realm of humanity and human beings by way of the vehicle of online. May I remind us, it is a hatred for God. It is a hatred for God's word. It is a hatred for religious free speech. Just this past week, a billboard depicting a Bible was banned. Here's the article. Billboards yanked because Bible is shown. After multitudes of complaints, including a serious threat, an advertising company removed a series of billboards depicting evangelist Greg Laurie holding a Bible. The ad posted at a popular mall in Southern California promoted Laurie's upcoming Harvest Crusade at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, scheduled for August the 17th and 18th. The event is the 29th year and is expected to draw tens of thousands of people. The Irving Company, a local real estate firm, agreed to post large billboards promoting the crusade at Fashion Island, a prestigious outdoor mall in Orange County. After complaints, the Irving Company required Harvest to remove the Bible from the artwork. The evangelical ministry complied, but the change apparently didn't stop the complaints, and the Irving Company completely removed all the advertisements and billboards for the crusade. The Bible didn't have a religious symbol even on it, according to this article. Here's Greg Laurie, pictured on the giant billboard. I've seen the picture, advertising the upcoming crusade. In his right hand, he has a Bible held heavenward. And the Bible is just, from the looks of an ongoing drive-by, it's just a black-bound book in the man's hand. But we all understood it was a Bible. It didn't say Holy Bible. It didn't say Bible on it. But just the image of what was viewed and to be understood as a Bible brought about complaints because of the humanity's hatred for God in the system that we're living in today and in the society, the secularized post-Christian society that we're living in. He goes on to say, it's sad that our culture is at this degree of intolerance, the pastor said, the preacher. There's such intolerance against Christianity that we aren't even allowed to state that or to publicly advertise this event. That is simply amazing, Greg Laurie said. In fact, here's another article about the same thing, A Sign of the Times. Pastor Greg Laurie's forced to remove billboards featuring the Bible. And he goes on to talk about the same thing that I just spoke of. And he says, after claiming the religious imagery on the ads provoked multitudes of complaints, including serious threats, the Irving Company mandated the billboards be modified. And you heard me say a moment ago, they modified it by simply removing the Bible. Here's Greg Laurie standing there, the date, the time, the place of the crusade coming up, expressed on that. But that was not enough, because the fact that it was a Christian billboard, a Christian promotion, a Christian free speech paid for by a Christian organization, it was at enmity with the general public, and there was hatred. Jesus said, you recall in the scripture, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. And we're watching the hatred of Christianity, the hatred of God, the hatred of biblical truth, the hatred of the Bible itself, the hatred of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that's being promulgated across America. It's bad enough to find it in many places in Europe, but it is horrifying when we see that taking place in America today. Here's what Franklin Graham says about that, ladies and gentlemen. Have we really come to this? Even a picture of a preacher holding a Bible is now too offensive to have a mall banner in California. My good friend, Pastor Greg Laurie, has a large event coming up in August, and they have had a very benign banner designed to promote this 29-year-old event. And the picture of the Bible didn't even say the word Bible on the front of it. Nonetheless, someone complained, and the mall called Fashion Island had the banner taken down. They said people weren't comfortable. Listen, people weren't comfortable with the photo of the Bible. So when the ad design was redone with no Bible photo, the owner of the mall was, I understand, the Irving Company, then told the church they wouldn't even advertise the event at all. Should this concern us as a nation? He goes on to say, I'm speaking now, reading the words of Franklin Graham. The word of God and the name of Jesus Christ are an offense to many. I wish they knew that the Bible holds the answer to what troubles the human heart. God wants to heal broken hearts and to bring comfort and wisdom and peace to all who would turn to him by faith in his son, Jesus Christ. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are in society today. That's what's taking place when we're watching our free speech. We're watching our First Amendment, the vanishing of free speech in America taking place. And it's taking place on the premise that it offends somebody. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can say Jesus, and that offends folks. It's gotten to the point where even in public forums, Christians are petrified to pray and conclude their prayer in Jesus' name. I'm not afraid to do that. I had an opportunity a number of years ago to pray at a secular commencement exercise for one of the major public schools in our area. I was asked to do the prayer, and I did so. And I prayed and asked God to bless everyone there, about 2,000 people present, several hundred graduates for that year in that particular school. When I got through with that prayer, I prayed in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, God incarnate. Amen. You could hear a pin drop in the place. I knew that when I did that, I wouldn't be called for a second showing. But ladies and gentlemen, we have the opportunity to please God and to please God with what we say and do. It's our responsibility. God didn't call me to appease man. God didn't call you as a Christian to appease society. We're called to please God. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, lest we take a stand as Christians now and come out of the closet and be salt and light and stand against the onslaught against our First Amendment, religious liberties, and the freedom of speech, we will soon lose them. We'll soon not have them at all. Ladies and gentlemen, with this billboard that I just spoke of, that's not the first time. Perhaps you recall me on one of the daily broadcasts dealing with an issue with Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor First Baptist Church in Dallas, just back in July. He was promoting and advertising on some billboards there in Dallas area. He was promoting the upcoming message, special message from his pulpit about America being a Christian nation. The title of his special message on the 24th of July was going to be America is a Christian Nation. He had billboards erected. The billboards along Dallas North Tollway proclaiming that America is a Christian nation had to be removed. The advertising company were put under pressure because of one heathen Jewish person and the mayor of Dallas that objected to that. In fact, it goes on to say in some of the articles, Rawlins, which was the mayor, is quoted in the column as saying that Dallas faith-based community makes it a city of love, not a city of hate. A billboard that said America is a Christian nation is a billboard of hate, and yet the mayor had the gall to say that that's what that billboard stood for. Ladies and gentlemen, the billboard promoting advertising company, even though First Baptist Church of Dallas had paid for them, removed the billboards because they did not want to tolerate the contrary conversation taking place by some of the general public after it was whipped up in the fake news media and challenged by the mayor of the city of Dallas and challenged by a one person that was displeased because he had to sit at an intersection and read a sign that said America is a Christian nation. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is the vanishing of our First Amendment right, the vanishing of free speech, the vanishing of and the diminution of our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can jump in this discussion. You have the opportunity, the freedom of calling in, joining in the discussion, the dialogue. You can ask a question. You can absolutely reject what I'm saying, and I'd love to know what premise you would do so. You can do so by calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413. If it sounds like I'm passionate about our Bill of Rights, I am. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you can destroy the First Amendment, if you can remove the First Amendment, if you can ban the First Amendment, all of the other amendments crumble and fall in the ash heap of history with no value whatsoever. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're in an era today of post-Christian, post-modern era. We're in an era today where the Bible is despised, where the Christian is demeaned, where conservatism is looked at with disdain and dislike, and where anything that goes into the public venue that allows the public to see where we stand, understand the Word of God, understand the cross of Christ, and to recognize even a Bible, it is offensive to so many today in society. I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned when you have a coach on the football field now was fired back in 2015, put on suspension in 2015. Ultimately, his contract was not renewed in 2016. And now he's gone without pay because he took a stand and fell down on his knees at the 50th yard line at the conclusion of each game and thanked God for the privilege of playing football. Ladies and gentlemen, this article, I'll just read you a blurb from it. Coach Kennedy asked U.S. Supreme Court to hear his Bremerton school prayer case. Bremerton is the city. Joe Kennedy is taking his legal battle to the Bremerton school district over prayer, school prayer to the Supreme Court. First Liberty Institute and the Kirkland and Ellis LLP on Monday filed a petition with the nation's highest court on behalf of the former Bremerton High School assistant football coach. Kennedy was placed on administrative leave in 2015 and for failing to observe the district's explicit ban against staff praying on the football field after games or anywhere at school sanctioned events that they could observe, be observed by the students. See, ladies and gentlemen, the school district had the philosophy, if a student sees someone on his knees praying, it could in some way be an emotional, philosophical, psychological damage to him. The article goes on to say there's no guarantee the Supreme Court will accept the case, but it has garnered national attention. Kennedy's attorney told that he was wrongfully fired and are seeking the court to force the district to reinstate him. The district kept Kennedy on leave for the remainder of 2015 football season and failed to renew his contract in 2016. In August, the panel of judges for the Ninth Circuit Appeals Court in Seattle turned down Kennedy's appeal. This is in Seattle, Washington, the state of Washington, of a lower court ruling. The legal team next asked to be heard before the Ninth Court, and it declined in January. Now, Kennedy and his attorney argued that the district violated his right to the freedom of speech by halting his practice of praying on the field after a game. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray that God will open the doors and allow the full Supreme Court to hear the case to give relief. If we do not bring these cases to the U.S. Supreme Court, ladies and gentlemen, we're crawling in the closet and we're washing our hands of it, and we're saying that our religious liberties and the freedom of speech have no value to us anymore as a society. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just billboards. It's not just football coaches. It's not just the Bible being offensive. But ladies and gentlemen, Christian cake bakers and Christian florists and Christian wedding planners, all under attack, and with their freedom of speech that is found, the religious free speech that they have in their creativity that God has given them. And when they refuse to bake a cake or refuse to do flowers for a sodomite wedding or refuse to do a wedding planning scenario for a sodomite couple, then they are being persecuted and prosecuted. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that just recently, back in May, we had the Supreme Court that heard one of the cases, one of the cake bakers that had been prosecuted and persecuted since 2012, finally came to the Supreme Court, and he got full relief where they granted him the freedom of the exercise of his First Amendment right. And so I believe that's where we need to go with many of these other cases, ladies and gentlemen, that will give us the freedom and the court saying that it is our constitutional liberty. He refused, here's an article, he refused to pay a fine for the U.S. flag on his front porch. He fought with the HOA, and it forced him to sell his house. This is down in Sweetwater, Florida, where a condominium association said that a man, which was a retired veteran, had a little 17-inch flag standing in his flower pot on his front porch. They chided him and challenged him and filed a case against him. He spent thousands and thousands of dollars and finally lost his home in foreclosure simply because they were trying to restrict his free speech and he refused to remove the flag. And I'm thankful we have people like that in society today. I'm thankful that he was willing to take a stand and say, I'm not removing the flag. I'm thankful that he was willing to take a stand as a veteran and say, I'm going to exercise my freedom of speech via the showing of the flag. Ladies and gentlemen, if we lose our First Amendment right, I said a moment ago, we lose all of the other rights in our Bill of Rights. It just crumbles and falls into the ash heap of history. Even a former ACLU chief, ACLU, you heard what I said. ACLU chief, a former person that worked with the ACLU for years and years and years, made a statement, and may I repeat it. He says, stop banning free speech. The free speech debate is reaching a new height after multitudes of online platforms refused to carry certain content in recent days. But a former American Civil Liberties Union president says those sites are taking society down a very slippery slope, and they are combating conversational speech with more speech. Free speech is better than no free speech. He goes on to say in this article, ladies and gentlemen, the former chief of ACLU says that it is absolutely unconstitutional and it's wrong for these sites like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to try to counter our free speech and to remove the freedom of speech. We must stand up, ladies and gentlemen. Our nation is doomed if we continue to elect and place into office politicians on the local level, state level, or national level that will not honor and recognize the Bill of Rights and our Constitution in general. You must vote. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, August the 28th is primary day. Vote and research your candidates. Any candidates unwilling to stand for the First and Second Amendment, any candidates unwilling to stand for the Constitution and to stand on it, I say vote him out of office or don't put him in office. We must thank God for the freedom that we have. Continue to look for him and look to him. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.